InterGen Sunday, and I'm definitely going to need some sort of helpers with a few of my props. Anybody want to come up? Yeah, come on up. Get up here. I got props. I know they're not quite like the best. Maybe you're not going to want to put this one on your wall, but it'll be very helpful to me. Thank you. A couple more helpers? A couple more? Yes, I see. Yes, very good. Okay, the first one. You want to hold that one up for me? Check that out. Isn't that a cool photo? Show that around, make sure everybody can see it. This last week, I was looking at so many pictures on the internet of people depicting Mary Magdalene, and this was my favorite one. You want to turn around and show the choir? Isn't that a beauty? It was painted by a monk, pretty sure he's a Franciscan. His name's Robert Lenz. He does really interesting interpretations of biblical characters. Everybody up front here see the picture? Can you see anything? Does anything stand out about this photo to you? Yeah? Yeah, what do you think that white oval could be? Do you want to show the... Bingo, it's an egg. Everybody, Mary Magdalene is holding an egg. And maybe that's a little bit strange, and yet for hundreds and hundreds of years, when people in the church wanted to draw an image of someone in the biblical story, they would try and put something in their hand that would tell you who they were, because just another picture of a guy with a beard or a woman with a halo, you don't really know who we're talking about. In this case, Mary was the person. Somebody else want to hold up another prop for me here? Oh, yeah, here. Oh, yeah, okay, good. Check that out. Stand up and show the crowd my fine handiwork in foam board markering. Yeah, come on, look at that. Ooh, yeah. There is no class for coloring in seminary, but I've made do. She was at the tomb, as the Bible story just told us. She was very upset. And in this sort of place where they would bury people, you want to show the folks in the front here again. The tomb wasn't like a hole in the ground. It was literally a cave that someone would go into, and then they would seal it up by rolling a big stone in front of it. And she was standing there alone, and she got to be the first person to meet the risen Jesus. And so then, can you imagine what it must have been like for her at a party? People would come up to her, and they would say, "What was it like? Tell us that story." And she probably spent the rest of her life telling that story. And the tradition is that there were occasions when she would use an egg as an image, and she would say, like, the shell of the egg is like the tomb that held Jesus, and then inside the egg was like the potential of new life. And so they would paint pictures, sometimes a red egg. There's another whole story about the egg turning red, but we're not going to get to, which I've heard that there are people that to this day that still use eggs to celebrate Easter. Can you believe that? Interesting factoid, you know. But I got a couple of more pictures of Mary and Jesus that I wanted to show you all. Another volunteer here. There's one on each side. So here, you want to hold that one. And then you can hold this one. So let's hold up Jesus in the little pink outfit. Here, everybody stand. Oh, yeah, you can show that one around. Quite often these pictures look like Jesus is wearing that sheet that the doctor gives you when you're waiting for your physical, which makes sense because in the story he's come straight from the tomb. Okay, stand up and show everybody that. Yeah, let's see it. Show the choir too. Let's let them see. Oh yeah, see that? Nice. Nice. Okay, now give it a flip. Give it a flip. There's one on the other side. There, see that one? That one's a little more doctor's waiting room sort of thing. Okay, show the choir. Show them. Let them see it. They're up there behind you. The guy's in the red. Yeah. Okay, so there's two more. You want to show those? Yeah, okay. Show that one first. The other one. Yeah, that's a good one. You got it sideways, though. Just give him a rotation. There you go. There you go. Perfect. Again, he's got just the bare minimum. And, of course, they're all very white, European-looking folks in these pictures, which says something about the people that painted them. And then you can flip that one. and show that one to the people. Look at that. Come on, look at them there. So, okay. You remember I said they try and have someone in pictures hold on to a thing sometimes that tells you a part of what they do in the story. She's holding on to an egg. What do we see in these pictures? Anyone paying attention here? A shovel or a spade, which is why, I mean these are my pride and joy this week. Yeah. Come on, look at that. This is almost functional. You want to hold this, or do you want to answer something? What's that? Oh, yeah, like a dove, a birdie. Somebody want to hold the spade here? Nice, okay. Or no, that's the hoe. There's the shovel. Nice, okay. Okay, you got two. Share. Come on, you can share. Yes. Okay, so why do you think they put a shovel and a hoe in Jesus' hands in these pictures? This is a little bit of a trickier question. Maybe a grown-up wants to shout it out. Sowing seeds? Okay, keep going. Anybody in the choir? The gardener, that's right. There's a part in this story where Mary doesn't recognize the risen Jesus. And it says, supposing he was the gardener, she said, "Where have you taken him?" And the people who were painting these pictures were like, "We better put a shovel or a hoe in his hands because gardener." Which feels like a bit of a strange connection, right? Because it doesn't say Jesus was gardening in the garden with tools. But the people who painted these pictures had an important lesson that they wanted us to learn in this. And I actually think it's a pretty good one, which is, I guess, why we're talking about it this week. The risen Jesus wasn't just some guy in the garden in that place. In those pictures, Jesus holding that shovel, Jesus holding that hoe, Jesus standing in that garden, is the risen Christ, gardener, caretaker, tender of the whole earth. The Christ who stands and pulls the weeds in this damaged and troubled and broken earth. The one who tends to the soil, Christ who plants new seeds of life in the earth under our feet. So maybe it feels a little weird for them to put a rake or a hoe or a shovel in his hands, but what they're saying is that the risen Lord is the one who is working on this earth to care for it, to make it new, to bring new life to it. Now, of course, we, who call ourselves followers of Jesus, are encouraged then to take up maybe not the literal shovel or the hoe, but the figurative shovel or hoe, because we too are encouraged to find places to care for, places where we might pull weeds, places where we might open the earth and plant new seeds of life, places that we will water and tend, places that will require patience of us, time, reflection. We'll have to wait for seasons to do their thing. We're going to have to let the realities of the weather and the wind and the rain do their thing. Our work that we do as followers of Jesus, keepers of his garden, is work that doesn't always have an immediate result. And yet, as we are patient and obedient and continue to follow Jesus, we get to do this work. So I would encourage you, as you think of the next days of Easter, is there some place that you might tend to? Is there a patch of earth that you've been given the care of? Is there weeds that you might pull? And believe it or not, that probably starts in your own life. Is there pruning or weeding? Is there soil that needs to be turned in your own heart to make yourselves receptive to the love of God and the reality of resurrection? I leave you with that challenge. Hopefully not a challenge that leaves you feeling put upon or oppressed this Easter, but one that invites you to the work of making all things new. Because the gardener, the cosmic gardener, the God who made everything, has come to earth and has worked the ground underneath our feet. Amen.